You are listening to Future Net Zero, a platform to help businesses and the wider community improve our lives and our planet by achieving net zero.
Hi, I'm Sumit Bose. Welcome to this Future Net Zero podcast, continuing our series of conversations with Centrica Business Solutions. And today I'm joined by John Hyde, who's head of sales. John, hello.
Hello.
Now, we've been talking about a variety of things with your colleagues, but I wanted to just start with one thing that I think is very interesting. You can see all the stuff that's going on right now with legislation push and pull, and we're getting towards the beginning of, you know, the election period. So the parties will be putting out their views on how to do this. Strategies are clear. They need to be done by everyone. And I think there's a little bit of confusion around which strategies to do. But do you think things like some slight political uncertainty, that the problems of sort of practically how you put a strategy, is that holding consumers back, you know, your customers, when you have conversations? Or do you think people are sort of actually going for it anyway?
Yeah, it's an interesting time, right? The appetite is definitely there for people, but they're hesitating, you know, they're trying to turn it into their optimism. They're trying to turn that into action, you know, and it's not easy. You know, we see a few reasons for this. There's some myths about technology, you know, that there's a reluctance to explore them in debt because they're not sure the confidence is missing.
Yep.
Business cases, they're difficult to build if you know all the variables. So that's something holding people back as well. But also, as you kind of already said, the macroeconomic headwinds, right? They're struggling here to prioritize what should they do next, you know?
Do you think some of the policy pullbacks recently and things like that, I mean, we are going to get this period, right? We all know there's an election coming and that will happen. But, you know, there are certain things that will be, you know, we're not going back on net zero, whatever anyone says, whoever gets in power.
Yeah.
But do you think some of that has also added to slight hesitancy from businesses?
Yeah, without doubt. We take our decisions top down sometimes, don't we? And this just feeds into that uncertainty in today's world, you know. But there is enough innovation out there today. They have everything they need to move forward. You know, we could take hydrogen as an example, you know, exploring green hydrogen into net zero strategies, you know. But people hesitate because they think it's immature.
Yeah.
But that's a myth.
This is the point, actually. There's a lot of things out there, whether, you know, it's a really interesting time because I think, hopefully you'll spare my indulgence, but, you know, a couple of years ago, you know, after the target was set in 2019, and obviously we had the pandemic, but there was this kind of head of steam, let's all declare what we're going to do, let's all get on board. And there was a kind of unified voice for this is the right thing to do. I think I've seen through the stuff we cover and the news we cover on Energy Live News and Future Net Zero, there are now some issues, whether they're myths, hydrogen. A lot of people don't think it's the right thing or worry about it costs, even EV deployment. There are things going on. So what are the sort of myths do you think that are out there and how do you debunk some of them? Because to be fair, you go on social media, you can have, one message says hydrogen's the future and one says this is the worst thing that could ever happen.
Yeah, you're right. You know, it's you've got different technology arms kind of competing for the prize where actually there's no silver bullet. All these different technologies will work together for a future better system. And for example, with hydrogen, you know, like we're working with a partner, HiiROC, and they're developing technology and have developed that converts biomethane, flare gas, and gas into clean hydrogen and carbon black. You know, the goal there is to produce the low-cost zero-emission hydrogen.
Yeah.
So customers can use that modular, local to the source, local to the point of demand.
Just on that point, you know, where do you see hydrogen being used? And is it really just for like, you know, a lot of people say it's for really big, you know, end users, right? Someone who's got a big manufacturing plant or a steelworks or things like that. Or it might be used as a fuel for a bus depot. But do you see it being wider used to replace, you know, natural gas heating for businesses in general? What's the view at CBA?
Potentially it is. It needs further development in terms of the infrastructure, and that's where we're starting. You know, things like HiiROC can provide it to whatever user needs it then because they're going to be local to that, you know. It starts with the renewable energy, electrolyzers then create hydrogen. It can be used then for mobile refueling, and then hydrogen vans, you know. It's the blend in the network as well is something that will be the initial starting point too, you know. So we are working with Lhyfe as the first offshore renewable green hydrogen facility. So that again facilitates all that hydrogen feeding into the north of England initially, you know. So eventually it will. That's the intention from Centrica. We put a lot of effort into the wider infrastructure and this whole system approach, because we have to start at that, and then it'll eventually feed down the pipe.
Yeah. What do you think is also holding businesses back? Because let's face it, we came out of, you know, Brexit, the pandemic, you know, and now energy crisis after Ukraine invasion and all of that. Finance is still a big issue, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a key challenge. We do a lot of research, and over half of businesses we see are finding it difficult now to access funding to invest in these ways. So we put our money where our mouth is. We support that kind of OPEX financing, and it's our own cash we're using. So there's no third parties, no banks. So people are getting a very good deal there, you know, but it's harder to quantify the cost of inaction, you know, the opportunity cost. The people are hesitant and sitting on the fence, you know, but, you know, we're helping in that way with funding. It is a big issue. It always is, right?
Yeah, but I mean, the question would be, people go, all right, I do the funding, but I'm worried about how long, you know, my PPA, whatever contract is to get the buyback. Because let's be honest, a lot of people think 3, sometimes generally 5-year terms, don't they?
Yeah.
And some of these investments, the payback can be longer or they can be shorter, but they're quite a sizable amount of money, even if they were to get it from you.
Yeah, it is. It's, you know, equatable to their first mortgage and their first house for something they're never going to do again. It's a big investment. And that's why we're here to support. And a lot of this is about giving confidence that the technology is solid and robust, and also the assurances you have with us in the long run with operational maintenance as well. You know, it's a long-term thing, but we see the rates working out well for people, and an early investment is the best time to do it, you know.
So if someone was interested in doing something like that, this is the other thing that probably maybe sits in the myth part as well. They may think, well, you're only going to be interested in me if I'm going to spend a lot of money with you. You know, I might be a smaller business and that, you know, I want to decarbonize and there may be a system I want to use from you, but they might think, actually, we might be too small fry for Centrica to get involved. What's your message to those kind of businesses?
I think it's get in touch. We, you know, you don't know what potential different locations have and what's your business like, what's your processes. We get involved with people from all walks of life, all different types of process machinery and situations, and each business is unique, and we take that into consideration when we're doing our models, both techno-economics and financial models, you know.
Let's look at the short term. Most of us think 2 to 3 year term. So what do you see coming up over the next couple of years? Because we're hitting the mid-25, you know, 2020s, where a lot of stuff was said back in 2019, 2020, that there'll be a lot of progress. And there has been, but there'd be, you know, you've got to ramp up your kind of decarbonisation as a business, because, you know, we've got to make a big lot of work by 2030 as being the general consensus. So what do you see happening over the next couple of years as we hit the mid-20s?
Yeah, I think it's people unlocking the existing opportunities that they didn't realize they have, you know. So things like heat pumps, solar, they're known quantities, but people were previously hesitant to deploy them, you know. Generating your own on-site energy protects against the volatility that we've seen in the market, you know. We've seen people, they want more predictability and they want to know what they're going to be paying every month for energy, you know. So in that as well, I see a lot of people investing in monitoring.
Right.
They really want to understand more about what they're using, when they use it, and can they use it at a different time of day or use it more effectively. But this also has the added benefit of feeding into reporting and compliance. So that's a big part of the net zero journey, to quantify all of this, because I think as much as regulation will say what they need to present in terms of scopes,
yeah,
having that early is really important, not to wait until regulation forces things upon.
No, I get that. Exactly. Also, as I said in the previous podcast, you know, we're a small business, and for smaller businesses, our scope 1 and 2,
yeah,
is part of our big client's scope 3.
Exactly.
So it kind of all helps. Just before we leave this bit, what sort of things do you think are technologies ready today that people are going? Because there was a huge, obviously, you know, go back 10, 15, 10 years or so, huge spike in solar. Is solar still going? Are heat pumps still being installed? What are you seeing?
Yeah, they are. You know, solar and heat pumps are probably the two largest markets at the moment because they work. They save money. They save carbon. They're the right technology at this point. And it's just a case of opening up the conversation and removing any taboos that people may have had, because it's not the old traditional boilers and you know, electricity from the grid, you know. So I think as well, I'm a big fan of quantifiable data. So monitoring that and making sure that we can see where savings can be made or fuels can be identified where there's opportunities for hydrogen and switching, you know. So it all feeds into a better net zero plan for people. And for me, I like to talk about energy efficiency because the way that you can save the most carbon is by not using any energy.
No, of course. And that has slipped down. I think it was there and it's kind of, people think they've done it, but they haven't, have they?
No, they haven't. And I did work for a few years in an energy efficiency consultancy, and it's very enlightening to see even the best businesses in the world today can do more on energy efficiency. It's hard work, but with technology, with certain types of metering systems and data, it becomes easier. You know, it's just a process.
Before we go, we have to be realistic. Lots of businesses are struggling. You know, they're keeping their head above water, but it's not easy. That doesn't mean that they're not concerned about what's going on and not concerned about trying to do their best. So what would you advise those? So the ones who are struggling with a kind of net zero strategy, particularly because of, you know, the financial pressures they're under.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I think if people are at the start of their sustainability journey, they should look at their data, right? Monitor it, identify the hotspots and the emissions, and then look at what kind of new technologies would have the most impact. I think after that, it's getting the right balance for the strategy. There's some quick wins like energy efficiency, like we just talked about there, fabric upgrades, green supply contracts, and they can unlock cost savings and you can reinvest them into, you know, bigger CapEx projects, heat pumps, you know, upgrading a CHP system to run on hydrogen or solar, as we just talked about. And then finally, what I'd really urge people to do is not to wait around for government or regulations to force you. You know, it's constantly changing, but sustainable practices and everything we talked about, it helps business. It's good for business, you know, and it can be a differentiator for your customers too. So I would say don't wait. Just put these things into practice. Don't look for permission. Ask for forgiveness, I think.
That's a good way. Absolutely. No, I think there is this thing, and you know, and we do it trying to do it in our personal lives, but there are still things you can do. And I think your point on efficiency is a good one. You know, unless we know how much, you know, simple as just turning off the lights when everyone leaves the office, for God's sakes. Put it, you know, computers being turned off, which I tell all my lot to do all the time. John, that's brilliant. Thank you very much for that. Really good. And I suppose the final thing is, you know, and I've said this on each podcast, but you want to have a chat.
Yeah. Absolutely. We've got a lot of clever people in the business that can really help. And let's just open the airwaves and talk more.
Okay. Irrespective of your size, doesn't matter.
Exactly.
Okay. John, thanks so much for joining us on this podcast.
My pleasure. Thank you.
You have been listening to a Future Net Zero podcast along with our partner, British Gas. This has been a promoted podcast.
Thanks for listening to this Future Net Zero podcast. Please follow us on social media and subscribe to the website at www.futurenetzero.com.